welcome to MGO HockeyCast 1.7, where we do talk about some hockey, but we also reminisce into some fond memories of some video games past. So have you ever played Mario? Like the old NES game.
One of my favorite pictures of us, and I have a couple favorite pictures of us, Dave, because we've been friends for a while, is us playing regular Nintendo together in a basement party.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So if you've held a Nintendo controller and you're our age, chances are you have played Mario.
So you have played Mario.
I also have the new one for the Switch.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
But like there's also like Mario 3, and then there's like Mario Kart. And
I can't believe you asked me if I played Mario.
I guess you're a little older than me. I started playing when I was like 5.
Really? Have you played Pong? Yes, I played Pong when I was little too.
Atari?
Yeah, my dad was awesome at Enduro. Remember that game?
I don't remember that.
I loved the burglar one. What was it called? Oh, shoot. That's going to drive me crazy.
Burglar one. For what, Atari?
Keystone Capers. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I played Space Invaders, I think, for Atari. Mm-hmm.
That was sweet.
And I was probably like 4,
Kaboom
maybe.
Kaboom with the little controller that you spin.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
That was good. That was a good one, too.
Well, you're a little bit older than me.
I cannot believe you asked me if I've played Mario.
Sorry. Okay. Do you remember Mario?
I played Mario, like, less than a month ago.
Really?
Yeah.
For NES?
Yeah.
That's actually awesome. I actually have my NES. I've been playing, like, ice hockey and Super Tecmo Bowl.
My brother-in-law got me a Raspberry Pi.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mentioned about you were going to get that at some point.
Yeah.
And, like, put a bunch of games on it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how we got here.
I know where you're going with this, by the way. I'm so shook that you thought I never played Mario.
I didn't say that I thought you did. I just was wanting to confirm to I guess, everyone listening. I guess I thought probably you had at some point. I don't know. Anyway. So my point is, like, the you'd get those mushrooms. Not like the ones that would make you bigger, but, like, the ones that you would get an extra life.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you'd get to a certain point in the stage and you'd get to start there, but you'd get only a certain number of, like, I think when we were kids, we used to call them continues, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Michigan hockey is about at their last continue, I think.
That's always nerve wracking. Contra, if you don't use the 30 guy code, you know, like Contra is really stressful. So I get that. Yeah. It's very stressful. You're on your last life. And back in the day, you didn't get like respawn points. You just had to start at the very beginning of the game. You know,
yeah.
Like,
and
so if you ran out of guys, you're done.
Yeah. So
it's a good analogy.
Like all semester, like we've talked last time about how they would win a game and then lose a game. Mm-hmm. Like they've gotten over the ties thing, but now it's win and lose. And I think that the disappointing thing about that is they'd win the first game and look solid against a decent opponent doing it, and then they never back it up with the next win. And they hadn't done well enough in the first half that they needed to start getting those Saturday wins in order to start moving up the pairwise. Because they started getting to the point where, I mean, I think I tweeted out a couple times, if Michigan wins this next game, I'll write like a rooting guide. Mm-hmm. So you can see, it would look at like the Big Ten, look at the national picture.
Right.
But I think that they're all but disqualified from an at-large bid now after the loss to Notre Dame, which we'll talk about in a minute. But now it's pretty much Big Ten tournament or bust. I mean, maybe if they like get to the final, I don't know. They win out but get to the final, maybe they're right around there.
It's almost impossible at this point.
Yeah, kind of like one last continue, I think. So,
well, there's a silver lining to that.
Which is?
You don't have to write the rooting guide.
Did you not enjoy? I had fun.
It's very good. No,
I learned.
It's I liked it, and I
got
was
to put a picture of Herm Edwards on it one time. It was pretty good. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. No,
Herm Edwards beat Michigan State this year.
Oh man, he also beat USC.
That doesn't count.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway,
that was a fun game when they beat State.
We watched that together till like what, 1
in
the morning?
Yeah, it was 1:30 in the morning.
Arizona State played terribly for like 3.5 quarters, and then they win at the very end because Herm Edwards finally figures out how to like manage a clock. And as a Jets fan, I remember him in the early 2000s, and he just had absolutely no idea. And it was like, how did you, I guess maybe you've learned in the last 20 years. But
he played to win the game.
He played to win the game.
So what are we talking about?
So,
hockey. Okay, let's do it.
That was quite an intro, but Michigan did play Michigan State now, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. It was like 10 days, right?
Yeah. It was it was 2 weekends ago.
Oh, yeah, because of the bye. Uh-huh.
The bye, and also then they had a midweek game.
Okay.
But I thought they looked pretty good in that series. Obviously, there's the caveat of Michigan State still is not what Michigan State used to be 20 mm-hmm. years ago. They have that one good line, mm-hmm. which I thought that Michigan did a decent job at shutting down. Mm-hmm. They had two goals in the second game. It was Lewandowski. One of them was like a power play tap-in after Strassman made a nice save, and the other one was just his defensive breakdown. But for the most part, you could tell that the KHL line was on the ice because Michigan State was carrying some play, mm-hmm. but they weren't like guys swooping into the slot left and right and like overwhelming Michigan. They just looked more like a competent hockey team.
Yeah, it's nice that they do now, but yeah. It's also nice, like, I feel like of all the teams Michigan's played this year, they've done the best against Michigan State in the sense of like possession and overall
yeah.
like, controlling the game. And
well, I think that fits Michigan's style, or their styles
matchup, yeah.
go mm-hmm. really well with what Michigan wants to do.
Right.
The frustrating thing, the first game, they kind of did that control, and this is kind of the story of Michigan season to an extent, but they control play in the first period of the first game, got a goal, looked to be in control, and then they give up an OMR goal mm-hmm. right at the end. And it goes into the period 1-1, and that's kind of like, I was like, man, this is just this season, because you look really good, you control the puck, maybe you win the first game of a weekend, and then you give the second one away, and it's... Mm-hmm. After that, though, Michigan looked better in the second period. They took a commanding lead. I think at one point it was 4-1. State clawed back a little bit, but the interesting thing for me that even played out in the second game is, and one of them was an empty net goal, but was that Michigan's starting to get some different two-goal scorers. Mm-hmm. Like Mike Pasta scored a couple goals in the first game. Nolan Moyle, who we've kind of been... You touted him really early, mm-hmm. and he's come on a little bit on that kind of nice Van Wy-Raby line. He got a couple goals in the mm-hmm. second game. And it's nice to see that it's not just Will Lockwood taking over or the power play. Or now those things are good, too, but it's nice when you get scoring depth of a couple lines.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Moyle coming around is kind of makes sense because he's a little bit younger, but with a little bit of a higher ceiling.
Right.
So at this point in the season, you know, coming into form is good.
That's what you want to see.
Right. Yeah. It shows, you know, getting comfortable with the college game, comfortable with the system, comfortable with your line mates.
Right.
I think that's pretty good.
And Mike Pasta scored a couple goals now, too. Kind of similar to how Nick did last year in the second half. We talked about how good that second half was of the season last year. And having Mike come in and score a couple goals, he's also done that more this half of the season. So now Michigan is not like some offensive force still, mm-hmm. but it's nice to see that other people are putting the puck in the net and it's not just the top like line carrying them, sometimes second line.
Yeah, that was Mike Pasta's eighth goal of the season.
Yeah.
You know, the seventh and eighth, so that's pretty good. You know, you're starting to develop a little bit of secondary scoring.
As a sophomore.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to come in. He was never had the recruiting profile of this guy's going to come in and take over the league or the team, mm-hmm. but to be a guy who maybe sneaks to double digits by the end of the year, I mean, that's something nice for next year.
They're now at 4-10 goal scorers. Mike Costa's fifth.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've developed a little bit of a very, you know, balanced attack in some senses, especially the first and second lines. You know, that's not really they don't really have much of offense than third and fourth lines generally, but
no.
Yeah, I think they've done a good job, and you know, Adam had mentioned this in his article, is they've done a good job patching together an offense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
You know, I think we should mention this with Michigan State.
Okay.
They have done pretty well up until when they played Michigan. So they were on a 4-1-2 stretch. Before they played Michigan?
Yeah, didn't they win a series?
They split Minnesota at home.
That was in East Lansing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they split with Penn State before that. They tied and lost to Ohio State, although gave up 13 goals in that series. Still
Yikes.
Somehow got a point.
That's giving up 13 goals to Ohio State is impressive because that's uh-huh. that's not the best offensive team. They're good defensively, as we'll find out when we preview them. But
then lost and tied Notre Dame and then beat and tied Wisconsin. So they were on a pretty good stretch, and then the following weekend they split with Penn State at home.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a pretty decent job in the second half. You can feel it starting to come together a little bit for Cole. If he can ever get some talent in there, they're probably going to be a quality team, probably a tournament threat.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they look competent. It's not miserable to play against them anymore. It's actually kind of fun because they look competent, but yet Michigan's drumming them.
Yeah, you know? They're good enough, but not too good.
Right, right.
Yeah. And that's
perfect spot. That's where we want Michigan State to be.
Yeah. So the other thing I did want to mention in the second game, And you've probably seen the replay now, but Kotarenko got the puck in a 2-on-1 on the power play off of a bad Michigan change. So he gets the puck in the slot, has man 1-on-1, goes to the left side and fakes back to the right and just sells man completely, and he's on the far post. And then passes back to the top of the slot with a half-open net.
Yeah, that's always weird when that kind of stuff happens.
I mean, have you ever seen that, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you've
yeah,
seen that,
that. Yeah, that happens.
Where you're essentially in on a breakaway.
Uh-huh.
You fake a guy out, and then he literally... It's not like he mishit the puck. You can see him move from forehand to backhand to passing the puck backwards. Then if you look at the two guys that are trailing, because I broke this down at work for a few minutes, because I was like, there has to be some reason. Both of the guys that he passes to are coming down sort of the slot between the dots. Each of them has the has their stick on the outside of the ice.
Right.
And the pass goes between them. So neither one of them is going to be in a position to shoot if he manages to get his stick on the puck. So I don't know if guys came down at the wrong angle or he passed. No, there's just... My takeaway is there's no rational thought process that I could figure out in any of this.
I would think that he wasn't expecting the man to get toasted as badly. So like overcommit.
Don't you still take a shot from 2 feet out?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I'm trying to take you through the thought process. You said you could never understand. I was like, maybe I can try to help here.
Okay.
So, yes, the goalie bites way too hard,
right,
and it's atypical, so he's not expecting that. And then the second thing is the trailer is not in the position to get a pass because they probably are like, oh, that's a goal, cool. You know, so that's most likely what happened.
Kind of like a guy on a breakaway dunk, yeah, and the second guy in doesn't even think about getting the rebound.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess we should just be thankful that that happened. Because I mean,
that was a Sparty no moment.
There's probably
I
something really goofy like that for every team, like once a season.
Sure,
you know.
Yeah, I just had never seen a guy in literally in the crease and do it. Like I couldn't think of a better situation for you to be in as a goal scorer that you would rather be in.
Sometimes you get too cute, maybe, but yeah. I can't say if I don't watch State enough to know if they're trying to be too cute, or I don't know if you're Michigan State if you're at that point in your progression where you can ever be too cute.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was interesting is Levine had all but won the job, pretty much won the job in the second
half.
Seems
like it.
And played well, I thought, against State on Friday. Mm-hmm. But when they went down to Detroit on Saturday, Mann started. And I think that Mel said something about starting Mann to kind of break the trend where, you know, you just go win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. And then he was like, all right, we're just going to do something completely different. And I thought Mann played well. I mean, Michigan pretty much dominated that game until those couple breakdowns in the third period.
Yes, and you also have to give him some time. You can't just only give one goalie, even if he's won the job, like all of the games.
Because
if something happens, if he gets hurt or melts down, the distance between Levine and Mann is not so great where you're going to play Levine, theoretically, like 9 out of 10 games.
No, yeah. No, right. I mean,
so you
and that's not a slight on Levine.
Right. It's just he's not going to run away. He's not Marty Turco.
Well, sure. Yeah. Right. But what I meant is that Mann has been good. I mean, he might have had a bad game or stretch, but I mean, he doesn't look like a guy who you're like, you see him in net and you're like, uh-oh, we got to get 8 tonight.
He's still got a high ceiling, I think.
Yeah.
He's in his age 19 season, I believe. So, you know, he's a little bit young compared to a lot of the other guys, and you know, there's still a lot of hockey to be played, so give him a game when you can, especially against an opponent where it's probably advantageous to start a backup, quote-unquote backup.
Sure.
Also, if they've identified that Levine maybe can't do two games in a weekend, maybe they're trying to experiment with that.
That's interesting.
First game, second game, maybe, like I said, trying to mix it up.
Yeah.
I don't know what they've observed or what kind of data they have, but there's a few different reasons. And fortunately, Michigan has a decent, you know, two decent goalies. So, you know, good but not great. And, you know, I do think Mann has the highest ceiling long-term.
I would say so.
Right. And maybe because of his youth, they view his floor as being lower. But
that could be as well. Anything else that you noticed or saw about Michigan State? Or should we move on to kind of like the air coming out of the balloon?
Well, I thought Levine was, you know, decent in that Friday game. Mm-hmm. And Adam had talked about the goal with off the faceoff where Levine didn't really move.
Is it? So I feel like Michigan has given up two or three of those that this year, and I remember him because I literally sit right above that faceoff dot at Yost, and they win a puck back. Guy comes just right around the center and just rips a shot, And he hit like the upper 90 of that. Like, is that...
Well, so number one, Michigan does give up too many good chances off faceoff losses in their own zone. That's where you're missing Norris, number one.
Is winning the draws.
Primarily, yeah. He was really,
defensive
really
zone
good
draws.
At that, right?
Yep, yep.
He was their guy on those defensive zone draws last year. And this year, not so as much because he was centering the first line.
But he was a monster last year.
Yes. And that they missed that. But they've got to be cleaner on those. You know, if you lose a draw clean, you still have to play defense. Like, you still have to get out and pick up that guy. And other teams obviously are seeing something because it's happening quite a bit on Michigan.
But if a guy hits a corner from there?
I don't think he really hit the corner. I think
you don't think so?
Well, on that goal, I think Levine... Well, he might have hit the corner, but Levine dug in and didn't move with the puck. So he was off his angle. He was off, like, at least a half step.
Okay.
So that's why... That was where the conversation went. But
that makes sense.
With Adam. But overall, I think... The Notre Dame goal off the faceoff, I think, was more of a team thing.
Okay.
This one, I feel like, you know, Levine kind of locked in and mm-hmm. didn't move with the puck a little bit.
So we'll transition a little bit to that Notre Dame game before mm-hmm. we take a break. But did you see anything that in his performance against Notre Dame that was on him as much, or was that just a bad game from what
I
you
thought?
Could
they tell? Got pretty well. So the two power play goals were really poor. Penalty kill defending by Michigan?
From the skaters.
Yeah. I mean, they were just... The shooter's wide open.
Okay.
Michigan doesn't really have anybody nearby. They're pulled out of position way too easily. Like, that's not good. That's not good power play defense at all.
Right.
And, I mean, they pretty much get down pretty early because of that. And that's tough to crawl out of, you know, when you're on a... when you're playing
Notre Dame. Oh, yeah. Well, and that's... So, I mean, we've talked about this since Michigan's played Notre Dame last year, mm-hmm. where... You know, Michigan plays them straight up and pretty even every time they play them. The difference is what do they do on special teams? Do they give up goals or do they give up good chances to Notre Dame? And when they don't, they usually win those games.
Uh-huh.
And when they do, they lose those games.
Right.
And that's, this is probably close to 9 games now in the last 2 years where that has almost held true.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of happened again. The difference is like, you know, they took I think Lockwood took a penalty maybe 30 seconds into the game, mm-hmm. and Notre Dame scored right away.
Malmquist, yeah, that's one of where he was just wide open
yeah.
at the dot.
That was
much.
One of the one you were talking about?
Well, there were two. The second one was a power play goal at the end of the game, but it looked very similar.
Like, okay.
The penalty kill defense was just as discombobulated, and you can't – it's just not what you want.
So then after that goal, Michigan kind of hung tough. They end up drawing a penalty
mm-hmm.
and were maybe in position to score and just gave up a shorthanded breakaway, essentially,
right.
on another odd man rush, and now it's 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
And that's those are just backbreakers because those are the things that Michigan cannot – we've talked about this, and I know they're all part of hockey and all that stuff, but when you don't have an overwhelming Connor line that's just going to bail you out, you have to win on special teams. You can't give up silly goals like odd man rush goals because people get out of position. And if you get beat in your own zone, but you're playing decent defense and a guy just makes a play, like that happens. That's
right.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't give away silly stuff. And that's kind of what Michigan did again in this game is like stuff like that. Like you said, power play goals, shorthanded goals that are come within a minute of your goal. I mean, I wrote
really
down
bad defense off of a lost faceoff.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote down that Notre Dame had two answer back goals.
Mm-hmm.
So Michigan scores a goal and within another 30 seconds to a minute, that goal's erased.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on the road, when you don't score a ton of goals, like you just can't. It just kind of sucks the air right out of you.
Right.
So they lose, I think, 5-2. They get a second goal. Lockwood had a really nice goal mm-hmm. where he went coast to coast, one of the nicer ones of the year. And we talked about this last podcast. He's really come on. I mean, he's been good all year, but he's really come on as it's clear he's Michigan's best player, other than maybe Hughes.
Best forward, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, best forward. All right, I'll give you that. So
yeah.
Michigan also wins Corsi, which is expected because that's generally what they do in terms of possession.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that this was another game where, you know, those fringe goals of odd man rushes and special teams and kind of silly stuff like that, they have to win that on a night in, night out basis against good teams. And when they don't, stuff like this happens. Well, those were the three games Michigan's talked about, which puts them in their last continue, which we started with. So let's take a break and we'll come back. We'll look at the standings, where they're at, and who the opponent is this weekend.
If you find yourself in the penalty box in Ann Arbor or Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man arguing your case. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul, the Michigan Law Grad, at 248-924-9458 or visit his website at michiganlawgrad.com.
Creed is just the best. Like, I'll just, like, when I re-listen to this, I listen through it.
It's the first ad read I've ever done.
Sometimes, like, when I'm, like, listening to podcasts and they have those things, I'll just kind of, like, skip to whatever I want to hear. But when you talk, I just smile and enjoy it.
You're ironically really or truly?
No, I enjoy it.
I don't know if you're being serious. I don't know if this whole podcast is even happening after you asked me if I played Mario. Before I started doing this podcast, I had never done an ad read, so...
No, that was good. I enjoyed it. It's you really sell it. You commit. What is it in acting? Committing to the moment? Is that what it
Seth, is? Seth made me really nervous about doing a good job.
Did he threaten you?
Vaguely.
That's how it grows at MGoBlog. We just, you know, we try to instill fear in our
Seth's
colleagues.
A friendly guy. I really like him, but he had this tone where I knew he was serious. And, you know, people who... you've never seen be serious before are pretty intimidating.
Who you generally have like a joking relationship.
Right. He's very jovial. Like we have a very smiley, happy, but he was like, look, don't screw this up or whatever he said. I'm paraphrasing cause I don't want to, so I was under the gun.
Is that what your teammate says to you when you have to face a breakaway? He skates by?
No. Well, yeah. Why would a defenseman skate by as I'm about to face a breakaway?
Because not like in gameplay, but like you're warming up and he's just skating by before he heads to the bench for the penalty shot.
I don't play for Tom and Hest.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Well, okay. I think we need to transition now into Michigan's next opponent, which is Ohio State. And it's funny because they're a top 10 team in the country. They've been the best team in the Big Ten all year.
That's not funny, Dave.
But it's funny because Michigan went to Columbus, and normally they always struggle there, and they won the first game, winning the game. Like, they didn't get lucky. They didn't have someone stand
there.
Yeah,
it was authoritative. Yeah,
right. They won that first game, and then they almost won the second game. They were up 3-2 with like 8 or 9 minutes to go.
They outshot them 13-4 in that period.
Right, and just a couple of pucks went in, a couple nice shots. Yep. There was a couple small defensive breakdowns, not to the point of where it's a breakaway, but a winger that just doesn't follow his guy or doesn't pass him off well, and the guy gets a good shot off. And they end up losing 4-3, unfortunately, and I think didn't Lockwood hit the post? Like, right at the other end with, like, 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
He had an open net and hit the post. So, they're right in this game with the best team in the Big Ten, one of the best teams in the country. Mm-hmm. So, when I think of that, and I think, oh, they're coming to Yost, I think Michigan's going to at least get a split here, and they have a shot at getting two. Now, will they? You know, maybe that's just me being optimistic. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Michigan matched up well against them. And even as you go through their numbers, like, they're seventh in pairwise, which is good. They're 16th.
One spot ahead of Arizona State.
Oh, man. The Ice Devils. And then they're 16th in Corsi, which is behind Michigan. They have a decent power play, 22%. That's not otherworldly, but it's solid. Their penalty kill is again, good, not great. It's 82%. They're not filled draft picks. They have one, Tanner Lisinski, who's been good. And it's not like they have a bunch of goal scorers. I mean, they have two guys that are averaging about 1.1, maybe 1.2 points per game, which is good, but it's not a team full. It's a couple of guys. And their next guy is like at around 0.7 or something. So that's their third leading scorer. And goaltending has been good. 9-2-2 as a team. I wrote down the team numbers because they've been splitting Romeo and Napier, which is interesting because Romeo last year
was amazing.
Phenomenal.
Right. Yep.
And actually, Napier has better numbers this year. His GAA is better, and so is his save percentage. But I think they're pretty much splitting 50-50. And they're hot. Like, they've won 7 of their last 10. In fact, one of their three losses was that first loss to Michigan in the middle of January.
So I think a couple things with Ohio State. They don't jump off the paper at you, but they're one of the oldest major college teams in the country.
Oh, just like average age?
Yes.
Okay.
So they're 13th in the nation, but only a couple other big college teams are ahead of them.
So they're experienced.
Right. Well, also, experienced, but also old, like in age.
Okay. So they're developed, I guess, is a word there.
Right. So I think when you get a big conference team that's pretty old and still can play, that's a really tough nut to crack. You know, I think that's where Michigan's going.
Is that a pun? You usually give me crap for the puns. That was a good one.
That was totally unintentional.
I'm going to give you a fist bump for that.
But even, I mean, the rest of the Big Ten is kind of down near the bottom. Michigan is actually the youngest team in the country. So Ohio State is 2 years older than Michigan.
So this is literally men playing as boys.
Well,
kind of.
You know, I think Michigan's men. Like, I'm not going to call them boys.
Well, okay, I mean, in terms of an age.
Wisconsin, Notre Dame are both in the bottom 10. Michigan State's in the bottom 10. Penn State is a little bit higher. They're up closer to Ohio State. They're 36, but...
And so this isn't experience you're talking about. So this could be...
This is a controversy, or not the controversy, but the issue we were talking about with Brian.
Oh, on the podcast.
Yesterday. It's something that's kind of manifested itself, and Ohio State's taking advantage of it. Rolick's done a good job. He's a great coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's one of the better coaches in the conference.
Just getting a bunch of 23, 24-year-olds.
Right.
By the time they get to the end of their eligibility.
Right. He hasn't even been there that long, though.
Yeah.
So I think he's done an excellent job putting this together. You've got a pretty good defensive system. I mean, you've got two capable goaltenders. This isn't what you get.
Yeah.
I think the way this team looks is kind of like the ideal of this Michigan team.
See, now this is what I said like a month ago. I said that this is like Michigan on steroids.
Yeah.
This Michigan team, not Michigan's program.
Right.
I'm not talking about that.
Right.
But I'm talking about if this Michigan team is going to win a national championship, this is what they're going to have to look like.
Yes.
Winning special teams and playing good defense, having great goaltending.
Very consistently good goaltending.
Right.
Yeah.
And not giving away the like silly goals. They do a pretty good job of that from what I could see.
Right.
But like we said, going back to those games earlier, is Michigan saw them in Columbus and beat them. And they were on a hot streak coming into Michigan, coming into playing Michigan then. Mm-hmm. And they've been on a hot streak essentially before last weekend.
Right.
Since then. And you took those two games that Michigan played them, and they played them probably 55, 60 to 40 for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And
only worry is that they got swept by Minnesota last weekend.
Yeah.
So that might have been their letdown.
Well, so they're also really close to clinching.
Oh, so they're going to want...
They're 10 points up on Notre Dame.
Oh, my
And
goodness.
There's like 12... I think like Notre Dame needs to win out, and Michigan actually, in theory, can still win the conference.
Mm-hmm.
If Michigan wins out and Ohio State doesn't get another point, or maybe they get like 1 point, Michigan can still theoretically win the conference.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how close they are. It's kind of like where Notre Dame was last year, mm-hmm. where they just wrapped it up with a few weeks to go. So, I don't know what that means. You know, they could theoretically they could lose this series. They could get swept this series and still
win the conference.
Yeah.
Right.
So we'll see. It'll be interesting. I know when they came last year, they dominated Michigan. It was in the first half of the season before Michigan got much of their like rotations and defensive issues figured out. But then when they played them in the second half, Michigan hung with them. And then they played them really well in the conference tournament last year. Lost in overtime.
Right.
Hughes hit a post. He also missed a wide open net a couple times. So
they did look really good in that conference tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not, you got to be optimistic to think that Michigan's going to get more than 3 points here, but I don't think it's like a stretch.
Out of just this series?
Yeah. I think they can get a result both nights. Will they? That's different. But I don't think that it's, it's not like going up against like Clemson or Alabama or something. You know, they're playing a team that they've already beat. They're playing a team that they've played evenly on the ice.
Yeah, I feel like this Ohio State team is not quite as good as they were last year for whatever reason.
I think the scoring isn't there.
Right. I don't think they're going to go to the national title.
And their power play or their penalty kills dropped a little.
Uh-huh.
So those little bit of edges that they had last year. Of course, you remember last year we watched the game against Duluth, I think.
Right.
And that was a no contest. I mean, it might have been on the scoreboard, but when we were watching that game, like one team had speed and the other team did not.
That was
not
a team with developed talent, developed talent who had kind of come through as the season gone on, and it was Ohio State being Ohio State, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do think this team's not as good as they were last year a little bit, but they're more successful because I think the conference is much worse than it was last year as a whole.
I would say
the way
that
this team is built, they're not really going to lose a ton of winnable games this past season, notwithstanding.
Yeah.
Minnesota's also playing better right now.
Yeah, they. I would say that the conference, and we'll get into this in a few minutes, is there's just a lot of parity. I don't think that the higher end is worse, but I would say that the lower end is...
There's no lower end because it's all like 30th or 33rd.
Yeah, it's kind of like basketball Brian was talking about yesterday. They're Iowa had to have a banked in shot to beat Rutgers. Like there are no easy outs in basketball in the Big Ten. And that's kind of
the same way.
It really is. I mean, Michigan State has their struggles, but I mean, if you look at the standings, they're like right...
They're not an easy out.
Yeah. They're going to finish 7th, I think, unless something goes really weird, but not by the sheer margins that they have the last
couple
years.
There are plenty of big conference teams that are worse than Michigan State.
Yes.
And that's not how it's been the last few years.
No, so. They've made improvements, and that's just something that you have to deal with in this conference is you're just – I don't think you're going to have someone steamrolling through. I mean, Notre Dame did a little bit in the first half last year, but they came crashing back down, and they built up enough of a lead to afford that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just a very – like, this is a perfect segue, but we're looking at the standings here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no gap. Like, there's Ohio State, but then Notre Dame is sitting at 31 points, and Wisconsin is in sixth, and they have 25 points.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this. Michigan could finish second or sixth.
Yeah, I mean, very easily.
Yeah, yeah.
And Minnesota is just ahead of them at 33, so Minnesota is technically
pretty
third.
Much any team could finish second or sixth. Maybe not Notre Dame could finish that low, but
yeah, it would take,
almost
I don't
anybody
think
could
would.
Finish...
right.
The home series have not been decided, number one.
I think it would. Right. Wisconsin's probably going to have to sweep Michigan to get a home series.
Right.
And Notre Dame's going to just have to just go in the tank to not have a home series.
Right.
But will they have the second? Will they have the third or fourth? Right. You know, that's up in the air. But you have, like I said, you have Notre Dame at 31 points. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's at 33, but they've played two more games. This is the weird thing with seven teams.
And having a bye.
Right.
Yep.
Someone's going to have a bye every week. Mm-hmm. But they're, and Michigan's at 30 points, Penn State 29, Wisconsin 25. And then Michigan State has 27, but they only have two games left as well. They're also both at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. So what's Michigan State going to get from that? Probably not more than three, right. I'd say, at the max. Yeah. So I don't know. It's really going to come down to schedule, I think. You seem to think that Michigan has maybe the tougher one as they host Ohio State and then they go to Wisconsin.
Right. And none of the contenders have to play Ohio State besides Michigan.
That is true.
Right. And yep. Wisconsin is the weakest team, but they're the weakest team that's actually a contender for one of these spots.
Yeah. Right? And I mean...
And Michigan has to go there. Like, it's... They were decent at home for a lot of the season.
Okay.
So that's kind of my reasoning. Having to play Ohio State, to me, is like the big thing that makes Michigan's schedule pretty hard, especially since nobody else has to.
Yeah. I definitely would feel more comfortable going into this weekend if they were not.
Right.
But I also don't hate the matchup. And, like, you know, it's funny because I was talking to the SID, our buddy, and he was saying, like, as long as it's not Penn State. Is like what he said. And I laughed because I was like, yeah, because nobody wants to face Penn State. Like, other teams, you kind of know what you get.
Right.
Penn State is
high
just
variance. Yeah.
Like, it's just someone with a machine gun spinning around a circle.
That's
and you don't
true.
Know where anything's going.
Yeah.
Everyone else you can kind of plan for. Mm-hmm. But when you get Penn State, it's just tough.
It's a really interesting point of view, and I agree with it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree too.
So we were talking about what would take Michigan to get in the tournament. You know, this whole Nintendo asking me if I'd ever play Mario thing.
Man, you're just going to run this into the ground.
Probably forever, yes.
Your face is kind of turning red one of those like little red guys.
Like little Goomba.
Like, yeah.
So what I think is if they can avoid having to play Ohio State in a series and get them for one game final,
well, that'll
I think
happen.
That's their best chance at winning the Big Ten title.
Yeah.
Which is most likely what's going to happen.
Ohio State's going to win the conference pretty much, which means then they're going to play the lowest seeded team left. And so in the semifinals.
But that's a three-game series.
Nope.
Oh, the semis are a single
game? They are, because remember, Michigan went to Ohio State and lost in overtime in the semis.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But
is this
going
to be our segue into like how bad college hockey's playoff system is?
But it's improving, right? Like, I won't say the NCAA tournament. The Big Ten has transitioned into home sites, which we've been asking for a long time.
Zero plus one is one, I guess.
That's arithmetic with Anthony, right. I think, is the next segment we're going to do. Then the next thing that they did is they've made a series, I should say, in the first round.
Right.
Which is key, because you give one team a bye, which I think is good. I don't think you should have multiple byes in the first round. Somebody wins a conference, you should get something that everyone else doesn't have. You can't lose in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to host the next round. One off, not the greatest.
Right.
But it's better than some random tournament at the X or at Little Caesars or something. So this is what kind of it comes down to is that the second seed is still up for grabs, like we said, mm-hmm. but it's really big for Michigan because Notre Dame and I think even maybe still Penn State are flirting with the bubble. Maybe Minnesota's pushing it after their couple wins this weekend.
Right.
But Michigan is going to need to be in this Big Ten tournament as long as anyone. And getting that second seed means that the worst thing that can happen is that you host that semifinal. And so if Michigan gets there, they don't have to leave Yost until the Big Ten final, mm-hmm. which then becomes one game, ironically, probably at Ohio State. And mm-hmm. if Ohio State somehow gets knocked off, you would get to host the final.
Right.
So that second seed is really big, and Michigan here does still control their own destiny for it. I think they might need a little help from Notre Dame, but Notre Dame has to go to Minnesota, who's getting hotter, and they do host Penn State, which is that high-variance team. That's not an easy schedule either. Mm-hmm. They're only 1 point ahead of Michigan. Michigan gets Ohio State, goes to Wisconsin. Like you said, you could look at it. They play Ohio State, but they also get them at home. They get a nice home series, and then their only road series is against, you know, arguably the worst team, second worst team in the conference. Mm-hmm. Nobody would be excited about going to Penn State for that series. Nobody would be excited about going to Notre Dame for that series. They go to Wisconsin, a team that probably should be better than, or we thought they'd be better than what they are.
They're actually the worst pairwise team in the conference.
Yeah.
Michigan State is out of them. So.
Well, and that should tell you some things. Mm-hmm. And when we saw them, like, those were winnable games that Michigan just didn't win.
Right.
They, like, their back end was not great. It was, mm-hmm. Michigan just couldn't score a goal.
Right.
And I think that if they had their power play in better sorts, or they had their second half kind of scoring depth that they do a little bit more now,
yep.
they could have easily won either one of those games.
Yeah.
So,
how many points do you think they'll come out with?
Do I think?
Yeah. We talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I think four.
You have four. I feel like, just given the last month or two, it's hard for me to see them getting less than six in 2 weeks.
Oh, because of the home win-loss.
They'll win, right. And I mean, they're as good as any of these teams. Uh-huh. They haven't been as good as these teams consistently enough to sweep anybody,
right.
but they beat everybody once when they play them.
Right.
And so I think six, the question is to me is, can they get that second win when they need it at Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. Or can they sweep Ohio State? Can they, if they get one, can they push and get that second one like they were 8 minutes uh-huh. away from doing?
Can they win two games in a weekend?
A month, but against a good team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that, I think, is going to be, you know, Mel's going to have to lay it out and say, hey, this is, you guys are good enough, and you're going to have to get a second win.
Yeah. The only thing is Michigan hasn't swept a good team this season. They've only swept twice this season.
I know.
They haven't swept a good team.
And that's, we were talking about this, but, you know, there's been a number of daily articles that talk about, like, focus on the team and, mm-hmm. and all this stuff, and that just kind of is a reoccurring theme. Mm-hmm. And that's something that they ironed out last year in
mid-January,
figured it out, and they haven't quite done that this year. And you kind of wonder, you know, where the mentality is and where the, you know, older leadership is.
Will the focus be there down the stretch?
Right, and that's something that last year,
season coming up, and
last year they had, mm-hmm. you know, two of their better players were Marotti and Calderon, who not only were, you know, a junior and a senior, but they had played together on the same line, on the same power play.
And they stepped into pro hockey right after that.
Right. And, you know, that's not, you know, you have kind of Lockwood there, but he's, the thing about Lockwood is this is his first full season at Michigan. Like, he got hurt in the first two seasons and never actually finished a season. Mm-hmm. And now you're kind of seeing what a full year of Lockwood is. You know,
he's definitely gotten better as the season's gone on.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need guys like him and Slaker to, maybe Ciccone, to step up and just be like, look, this is it. You know, well, this is our one last shot. And you have to, Michigan has, we said that they don't have the most talent in the world, but they have enough talent that if they focus every night and they mm-hmm. play the same way, they're as good as anybody they play.
I think they're a top half talent team in the Big Ten. Who's not trading their roster for Michigan's?
Right.
You know,
it's just that it's just young mm-hmm. and a bit inexperienced, especially
areas,
forward.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I mean, it's right in front of them, like we were talking about. I do think that maybe, you know, the last 2 weeks, maybe you don't care so much about placement, but you care about prepping your team for the tournament.
That's a good point.
So I'm wondering if that will be their approach, because there are some in order to win that tournament, they're going to have to make some changes. They're going to have to win four games out of five, basically.
Yes.
To win the tournament.
Yep.
They haven't done that.
The weird thing is, you know, we talk about them winning the first game. Well, that would the first game of a series would be the semifinals and the finals.
They've only won four games out of five once this year. So
yeah, I mean, they haven't won a lot of
games. To make that kind of improvement, there's going to have to be some change that will have to be made. And I wonder if that's the way they're approaching it. Well, people
have talked about how Quinn Hughes, after that Penn State game, mm-hmm. came out and said that I was Penn State's best player. Mm-hmm. And that's a little harsh.
Yeah.
Do you remember how before that game where he's trash talking Evan Barrett literally before the game on the ice, and he says, "Hey, are you gonna do something tonight?" Because he didn't on the Thursday game,
right.
And you know, then I remember thinking that I'm like, well, that's good, Leo. Let's light up the guy who played well at the World Juniors, but
yeah. He's good.
So
I don't know. You got to have the focus. You have to have the team dialed in. They're going to have to win four out of five, which is going to be tough. They're going to have to beat probably two, maybe three good teams during that stretch.
Yep.
Right? They're going to have to beat...
Which they've beaten them once. It's just that second time.
Yeah.
But
good teams do that. And if Michigan wants to be a good team, they're going to have to do that.
Yep.
And if they don't, the way that we'll remember this season is if, you know, they weren't that good.
Yeah,
and so
the potential that just wasn't quite realized.
Yeah, and they have a chance to kind of undo a little bit of that, like they did in the second half last season. You know, we'll see if they do it.
So that's pretty much it. We'll be back next week because we have a few more of these to go, and so we'll wrap up what happened this weekend. We'll probably talk about Wisconsin a little bit more in depth than we did this week, and we'll see what the standings look like then. Because I'll tell you what. Oh, here's the other thing. We talk about how college hockey isn't on TV. That is not the case this Friday. The Big Ten, I looked at all three Big Ten games. There are two of them at 6:30. Michigan plays Ohio State at 6:30 on Friday. One of the other Big Ten games is also at 6:30. And then the other Big Ten game immediately follows that one on Big Ten Network. So you can see all three of these games. They're all going to be interesting. They're all going to be... they're all going to matter to Michigan, especially if Michigan wins. If Michigan wins, it's going to be very interesting to see how those games play out because, you could literally go anywhere in the standings.
Are they on TV both nights this weekend? Actually, I have that information right here.
Oh, do you?
Friday is Fox Sports 1. Saturday is Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
It's so great the games are on TV. We're going to be there. Like, I would really like to watch a road game.
It is. I'll probably bring my tablet and keep an eye on the other 6:30 game because...
It's nice they're early also. It's 6:30 puck drop on Friday and 6 o'clock puck drop on Saturday.
It would be interesting to see if people can get there. It's always tough to get to a 6:30 game, but...
Oh, yeah, on a Friday.
On a Friday in Ann Arbor.
I bet it's going to be a little bit...
dicey.
Late. Yeah.
But it's Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll take a look at those games, check them out. All teams look kind of the same, so it's a big weekend for Michigan. They have a chance. It's not, I don't think... obviously a slam dunk for them, but I don't think it's as difficult as Ohio State has been intimidating in the years past.
Agreed. And we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to MGO HockeyCast 1.7. I'm Anthony Ciotti. I was with David Nasternak. And yes, I have played Super Mario Brothers.